Gentleman Johnny Marcone was the biggest, scariest gangster in a city famous for its gangsters. Once the old familias had fallen to internal bickering, Marcone had done an impression of Alexander the Great and carved out one of the largest criminal empires in the world, assuming you didn't count governments. Chicago's violent crime rate had dropped as much because of Marcone's draconian rule of the city's rackets as because of the dedication of the city's police force. The criminal economy had more than doubled, and Marcone's power continued to steadily grow. He was a smart, tough, dangerous man, and he was absolutely fearless. That is a deadly combination, and I avoided crossing paths with him whenever I could. The way things were shaping up, though, this time I couldn't. "You happen to know where the new Velvet Room is?" I asked Murphy. She gave me a look. Right, sorry. I blew out a breath. "Seems like it might be a good idea to speak to some of the girls' co-workers. I'll bet they'll be willing to do a little talking to avoid trouble with the law." She showed me her teeth in a fierce grin. "They just might. And if not, Marcone might be willing to talk to you." "Marcone doesn't like me," I said, "and it's mutual." "Marcone doesn't like anybody," Murphy replied, "but he respects you." "Like that says much for me," Murphy shrugged. "Maybe, maybe not. Marcone's scum, but he's no fool, and he does what he says he'll do." "I'll talk to Elaine when she's got everyone settled," I said. "Get her to stay here with Mouse and keep an eye on things." Murphy nodded. "Elaine, huh? The ex?"
"Yeah."
"The one working against you last time she was in town?"
"Yeah."
"You trust her?" I looked down at Murphy for a minute, then up at the hotel room.
"I want to,"
she exhaled slowly. "I have a feeling things are going to get hairy. You need someone who's got your back."
"Got that," I said, holding up my fist. "You."
Murphy wrapped her knuckles gently against mine and snorted. "You're going syrupy on me, Dresden."
"If it rains, I'll melt," I agreed.
"It's to be expected," she said. "What with how you're gay and all now."
"I'm what?"
I blinked.
"Oh, Thomas's apartment."
"Hell's bells, you cops got a fast grapevine."
"Yeah, Rollins heard it at the coffee machine, and he just had to call me up and tell me all about you and your boyfriend being in a fight.
He asked me if he should get you the soundtrack to Les Miserables or Phantom of the Opera for Christmas this year. Veretti and Farrell got a deal on track lighting from Malone's brother-in-law."
"Don't you people have lives?" I said.
At her continued smile, I asked warily,
"What are you getting me?"
She grinned, blue eyes sparkling. "Stallings and I found an autographed picture of Julie Newmar on eBay."
"You guys are never going to let go of this one, are you?" I sighed.
"We're cops," Murphy said. "Of course not." We shared a smile that faded a moment later. Both of us turned to watch the street, alert for any unwanted company. We were silent for a while. Cars went by, city sounds of engine and horn, a car alarm a block over, dark shadows where the streetlights didn't touch, distant sirens, rotating attention-getting spotlights lancing up to the dark summer night from the front of a theater.
"Hell's bells," I said after a time. "Marcone."
"Yeah," Murphy said. "It changes things." Marcone was involved. Matters had just become a great deal more dangerous.